Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
CBS News brief. President Trump didn't rule out the possibility of a recession. That and tariffs and other issues all has investors rattled.
Tariffs are the big item, but there's also a question, will the economy maybe as a result of tariffs weaken, given us job problems, the consumer slowing?
Investment strategist Bob Dahl, the S&P 500's down 2%. New federal cuts in the scientific community as we hear from CBS's Olivia Rinaldi.
CBS News learned that NOAA is planning to cut about 1,000 people. This comes on top of 800 probationary employees that were fired last month.
Overseas, all 37 people aboard two ships that collided in the North Sea are accounted for. CBS's Ian Lee.
A Portuguese flagship, the Solong, was sailing from the north. That's when it hit the nearly stationary U.S. flagship. A huge fireball erupted.
The U.S. ship was a tanker carrying jet fuel. CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Wattles. An intense brush fire near a busy Brookfield business district and densely populated subdivision yesterday afternoon had people on edge. Civic Media's Chris Morrow has more.
Traffic in Brookfield around Capitol Drive and Brookfield Road is moving smoothly this morning, but that wasn't the story yesterday afternoon about 2 o'clock as a brush fire broke out and started quickly spreading to the north and east. One witness said they were told to evacuate.
Dark smoke in the air, and we all of a sudden heard a lot of fire trucks and police, and we started to go west on Capitol Drive from Brookfield, and the police had told everyone to evacuate.
15 firefighting units from over 4 area fire departments fought the fire. The biggest fears came when the winds, blowing at more than 25 miles per hour from the southwest, started pushing the brush fire toward the Sorens Ford Auto dealership on Capitol Drive and to the subdivision beyond. At this point, no reports of injuries or major property damage, and they're investigating the cause of the fire.
Bernie on Friday, Tony on Monday. Governor Evers is at UW Parkside today touting his proposed investments in the UW system. A statement says he'll outline his administration's plans for renovating and modernizing campus infrastructure. The local visit will focus on the Wiley Hall renovation. Evers wants to use $856 million in tax dollars to improve the UW system. Thousands packed the arena on campus Friday for a rally with Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. That was it. After nearly 57 years, Milwaukee's This Is It bar is closed. It was billed as the state's oldest LGBTQ+ bar, and they closed the doors for good last week. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Wattles.
The Bucks lose to the Cavaliers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Cavaliers beat the Bucks 112-100 at Fiserv Forum. Cleveland has now won 14 games in a row. How did Milwaukee measure up? Doc Rivers.
Honestly, I look at the game, guys, and they scored a bunch down the stretch, but defensively, we were good enough to win the game. Offensively, we're not good enough to win the game. We didn't do anything else enough to win the game tonight.
College basketball, the Badgers learned they'll face either Minnesota or Northwestern in the Big Ten tournament Thursday afternoon in Indianapolis. The Badgers upset by Penn State over the weekend. It's Marquette against Xavier at Madison Square Garden on Thursday in the Big East tournament. And the Badgers women's basketball team head coach, Marissa Mosley, has stepped down after 4 losing seasons in Madison. NFL, Davante Adams headed to the L.A. Rams. The 32-year-old receiver will sign a 2-year deal worth nearly $46 million. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It's practically feeling like summer today, with high temperatures reaching the upper 60s and flirting with a record of 68 degrees set back in 1879. Got some breezy winds out of the south, warming us up about 30 degrees above our average high temperatures for this time of year. Soak it up and enjoy the sunshine. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Can our NATO allies continue to rely on the United States under President Trump? What is your take, Professor Barrington?
The conversation had been going into Friday. Can Europe just get a seat at the table for these negotiations? The right question now is, can Europe build a new table?
Mm.
And I think that's where they are. February 28th, 2025 is going to be remembered as, a pretty key date.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome in author Laura Ann Bird to talk to us more about what we can find in a book, or in the case of this week, a book club.
It's called a silent book club. You go to either a coffee shop or distillery or bar with a bunch of other people. You're all reading different books. You walk away from these with like great recommendations. It's sort of like a show and tell of what everyone's reading.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay, will discuss the American crisis. Also, the GOP has a mandate. Shouldn't they be able to pass a stopgap spending bill without Democratic help? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
A new choice. Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. And streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allbaugh, along with the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, March 10th, 2025. Back to work, back to school. It's a magic Mike Monday. Not sure why I said that.
Now, is that M-I-C or M-I-K-E? Because those are very different mics.
Yeah, nicely done. All I know is that the sun is out, which is fantastic here at the World Headquarters in downtown Madison. And we love this. I love the sun. I know Zommers gets overheated easy, but I love the sun. I love a window. And I'm very thankful for it. But I'm telling you, in this studio right now, it is hotter than a cat on a hot tin roof.
It sure is.
It is warm. I'm debating whether to remove my Packers polo shirt.
You have an undershirt?
No, I do not. Zomer's shaking his head. No, please don't. Just don't.
Might get more views.
Or less. If I was in better shape, maybe. But no. I'll keep it on. But boy, it's toasty today. Highs in some places could be close to 70 degrees in southern Wisconsin today. So spring is here, which only, of course, means that sometime in later on in March or early April, we'll get about 12 inches of snow.
Oh, yeah. Second winter is coming.
Right. But it feels great now. Feels great now. Did you have a nice weekend, Mr. Zommers?
I did. Got to spend some time with my family. And it was nice to be able to talk with my parents more than I normally get to when I go back to Manitowoc.
Nice.
Normally, my time is monopolized by a certain 6-year-old niece that I have, right. Understandably.
Mm-hmm. But now you got to spend time with the parents. That's great. You're back.
It's always good. Yeah.
Always great to have you back. I stayed in town. I worked on the show a little bit this weekend. And I did get outside, took a little bit of a walk, spent a little time down at Memorial Union next to the frozen lake on Sunday. It was beautiful.
Some sangria.
I did not. I had a spotted cow and a hamburger as I sat next to the lake. And here's, first of all, you had a couple of college co-eds. And this one girl was like in a mini skirt and pumps or something. And they ventured out onto the lake to go after a piece of wood. And I thought, these girls are going to fall into the lake and I'm not going to feel particularly sorry for them.
Yeah.
And then you had a group of what I believe to have been like a fraternity group, a bunch of frat guys, and they were doing a fundraiser. It was kind of like a polar plunge, and these guys set up a table and were taking donations, and then most of them had like their swimsuits on, and then they had cut a hole in the ice pretty close to the shoreline, just so the water went up to about their shoulders, and then they put a board across that 3-foot-ish type of hole, 4-foot, and then if you gave them enough money, they would jump in and Polar Plunge for, it was a charity for, I forget what it was for. I didn't go up and, I just kind of observed, because at first I'm like, what in the world's going on? And then I got close enough to find out that they were raising money, and they were going up to people and saying, hey, well, we'll jump in the lake if you give us money for this charity. So that was kind of fun.
Better to do it for charity than some misguided sense of...
Well, and these girls were well beyond where the guy... I mean, they were... I mean, it was dangerous. And I thought they're going to fall in. They're going to go through the ice. They're going to have to call the authorities. I say this once. I say it twice. I'll say it 1,000 times. Please stay off the ice, because it puts our first responders in jeopardy for just not smart behavior.
Especially if you've had a couple drinks.
Bingo. Speaking of our first responders, want to start out the show. And by the way, if you normally view the show on Twitter, X, streaming, apparently Elon Musk is too busy with the doggy or the Doge to take care of his own company, Twitter, because it has crashed. And so not be able to stream on there. And of course, I use Twitter X as an aggregator for legitimate news. By that, I mean I follow like ABC, CBS, Associated Press, these sorts of things. And it's very easy for me to go through and find legit news that way. Thank goodness I did most of it last night. But then pulling up some of the cuts has been a challenge. But by golly, if you ever have a radio show, get yourself a producer like Aaron Zommers, because he found other ways to pull up a couple of these. And very appreciative, Mr. Zommers. But I want to start out with a story that is not making nearly enough headlines this morning. Speaking of our first responders, yesterday afternoon, there was a massive brush grass fire in Brookfield, or around Brookfield in southeast Wisconsin. It was so big that it was showing up on weather radar, the plume of smoke that was moving east out over Lake Michigan. You could actually see it on weather radar. And I believe, don't quote me on this, but it was like 11 or 12 different departments did a joint response along with Brookfield. And this got very scary very quickly. We've seen this in California to a much larger degree. We've seen it in South Carolina last week to a larger degree. But this had the potential of getting way out of control, because what happened was, and they're still investigating the cause of this fire, but because of the dryness and yesterday's winds, this went quick. People had to be evacuated. People, they were afraid homes were in danger, and several car dealerships, you know, they kind of put these along roadways or whatever next to fields. Well, a lot of these car dealerships in Brookfield were also in danger of being taken out. But only because of the quick response and the trained professionals who are Wisconsin's firefighters. There's, to my knowledge, and I'll stay corrected, I do not believe there was any major, I mean, it might have been a couple of structures lost, but no major, major damage in Brookfield yesterday to major structures because of the men and women who put on the uniform who are our firefighters. So I want to just give a huge shout out and applause, there you go, to the men and women, not just in Brookfield's fire department, but all the surrounding and aid and abetting responding departments for mutual assistance in the Brookfield area last night, who risked life and limb and prevented this from becoming a major catastrophe. So thank you to all of you. This should be headline news and above the fold for sure. Isn't it funny how when things work out well and the people protect us, well, you know, there have to be a fire. But then, of course, you know, three car dealerships were destroyed by a fire. Then it becomes a huge story. I think that when we have successes due to our men and women in uniform and firefighters, those should also be major stories.
I agree.
So that's why I wanted to lead with that and thank all those people in the Brookfield area for protecting all the folks down there. Lots to get to today on a big news Monday. Lots of politics to get to. Going to talk about Bernie Sanders being in Wisconsin over the weekend. And look, it was a great event in a lot of ways. But they decided to kind of zhuzh up the numbers, to use a phrase that's going around.
Or mislead.
And there was no need to do it. You understand? There was no need. It was a great event. Why zhuzh the numbers? So we'll talk about that a little bit. And Bernie did do something that I agree with. In Altoona, he asked people to call out what's on your mind in terms of major issues and why I think that Democrats would be smart to actually listen to people who showed up, because I think they have it right. Speaking of misinformation, there is a real Donald Trump cut from over the weekend or Friday. The FIFA, the organization that oversees the World Cup, was in the White House either Friday or over the weekend. And Trump alluded to election results. And this got bastardized by some folks on the left and is making its way all over social media of disinformation. We'll talk about why that is not helpful, to say the least. ICE arresting U.S. citizens and taking green cards away. Talk about that a little bit. And the $25,000 pyramid, the DHSS edition. Dick Clark, so long, everybody. Do you remember Dick Clark? You're probably too young.
I know who he is. I've seen videos, yeah. But I don't.
He hosted the $25,000 pyramid years and years and years and did a fantastic job.
Among many other things. Just not aging until all of a sudden he did.
The poor man had a massive stroke about 3 years before he passed, and that did him in. But up until then, you're right. It was he and my friend John Poole, never aged, as it turns out. 16 past the hour, 12 noon. I want to lead with this. And I know this is a sports story, but yet it's a lot more than that. The Wisconsin Badger women's basketball coach, or team that is, will have a new head coach next season, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, a story by Mark Stewart. Marissa Mosley, who led the program since 2021, resigned just short of the completion of her fourth season. Associate head coach Margaret McKeon will serve as interim head coach. The news came yesterday, 4 days after the Badgers were knocked out of the first round of the Big Ten tournament in an 81-54 loss to Iowa on Wednesday in Indianapolis. The team is 13-17 overall. They do have a chance to receive an invitation to the WNIT. I don't go along with teams losing records going to postseason tournaments, but that's a whole other kettle of fish. In a press release, Director of Athletics Chris McIntosh said Mosley informed him on Friday of her resignation to resign. Quote, I want to thank Marissa for the commitment she demonstrated as head coach of our women's basketball program, McIntosh said in a press release. She had a clear passion for coaching our student athletes, and she worked hard to bring success to our program. I wish her well as she transitions to the next chapter of her life, unquote. Further down in the story and not being talked about nearly enough, Mosley's tenure was marked by a handful of players who left the program during the season. One of those players, Tessa Towers, accused Mosley and her staff of mistreatment on a social media post back in January. The post received comments of support from other former Badgers who transferred out of the program. Angie Murphy, a prominent former high school coach at Verona, who had a former player on Mosley's first team at UW, said on X that situations like what Towers described happened previously. Quote, the same abuse of power happened to one of my former players under her tutelage, Murphy wrote on X. Sad to see that the pattern has been allowed to continue. My heart hurts for Tessa and any other players, unquote. Gonna come back, finish this up. Tell you why Marissa Mosley may well not see any repercussions for her alleged actions. It's the Tottle Ball Show for a big Monday along with Zommers on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
540 WAUK presents This Week in Waukesha, a weekly podcast featuring Waukesha's issues and topics.
Hi, this is Downtown Donnie Brown, and This Week in Waukesha, acting locally, thinking globally. My guest is Ken Spencer, owner of MVP Parts Store, and candidate for 8th District Alderman, taking on two-time incumbent Beth Molson. It's going to be a great show. Join us.
Find updated podcasts of This Week in Waukesha online weekly at waukradio.com.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tattle Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 21 past the hour of 12 noon on a Monday, March 10th, 2025. Zommer is on the board. Glad to have you along talking about top story. Over the weekend, yesterday, head coach of Wisconsin women's basketball program, Marissa Mosley, technically resigned after 4 seasons. According to people who actually cover women's basketball in Madison, it was essentially you can resign or you're going to be fired. On Twitter, and I wish, you know, Twitter's not working right now, it's down, so I apologize. I credit the guy's real name. This is a legit reporter who follows women's basketball at Wisconsin. He goes by Badger Ball Knower on Twitter. His at sign is Badger Ball Know. Because it cuts you off after so many characters. But Badger Ballnower.
Drew Ham, I believe,
Thank
is
you.
The name.
Yes, I believe you're right. Says, now that Marissa Mosley, this is from yesterday, now that Marissa Mosley has resigned, and it was reportedly her decision, I think it's worthwhile to remember that it was presumably only, quote, her decision, unquote, in the sense that if she didn't resign, Wisconsin was going to fire her with cause due to the abuse allegations. Unquote. I want to step away from this tweet for a second. And look, I'm not just saying this because it's me. And regular listeners to this show know that I bleed Cardinal and white. I'm a huge Badger fan. We're going to talk about the men's game in hour number two here. Men's basketball lost over the weekend. Marquette basketball lost over the weekend. Men's Badger hockey lost over the weekend, but by golly, there was a bright spot in Wisconsin sports thanks to the women Badger hockey team who won the WCHA and got the number one seed in the NCAA tournament. We'll talk about that in hour two as well. But I'm a huge Badger fan, as you know. But I also tell it like it is. And we were one of the few shows in anywhere, even sports radio, that spent any significant amount of time on these allegations, these charges against Marissa Mosley back in January when this broke. Because this was not a case of, okay, look, we're all human, right? We all make mistakes once. The question is, do you learn from that mistake? And do you repeat it? This is not a case of that, allegedly. This wasn't one disgruntled player who didn't get enough playing time and made crap up. No. It does not appear that. This was, I think we're up to 5 And I believe one is a current player, or was, at when this story broke. Five different women who had similar stories who were contacted by the press, and it would have been pretty hard to coordinate all this. As we read in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel story, one coach who had a player, and the coach is saying this, that Marissa Mosley put these young women under mental stress, made them sign things about their mental health, and if they didn't do it, they'd be kicked off the team or wouldn't see any playing time. We had a similar story like this, two, 3 weeks ago, by Kelly Meyerhofer. She was on this show from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who did this great investigative piece on a young woman who ended up dying by suicide, who was on the UW track team. And in that case, there was an in-depth investigation. The results were released. That track coach was either relieved for duties or also resigned. And they changed the way they did things in the track program and across UW sports because of that tragedy. But it was put out there. And look, I'm all for people having their day in court or having, you know, calling them allegations until they're proven true. And so there was an investigation, internal investigation by UW started back in January against Mosley. But now, according to this report, the guy's name again, Zomers, I'm sorry, goes by Badger Ball Knower.
Drew Hamm.
Thank you. Drew Hamm says this arrangement benefits both Mosley and Wisconsin because the findings of UW's investigation into the abuse allegations won't be made public now. A situation like this resignation leads me to believe that there is some truth to the allegations that were made. Goes on to say Mosley wasn't going to get a payout or paid a buyout either way. So a resignation was the only option for her to quote unquote save face and have plausible deniability when applying for new jobs. It sucks completely for the players who were affected by this, and I hope they find some peace eventually, unquote. I mean, this is ridiculous that these young women went through these, we have to call them for legal reasons, allegations at this point, but pretty clear and accurate and consistent allegations by multiple players. Coach never denied this flatly that I know of, and now she resigns. And now, because of this arrangement, the public is never going to know the truth about the investigation. And Marissa Mosley gets to go on and get another job where she could potentially do the same thing to more young women. This is ridiculous. I call on the Chancellor Mnuchin, who I think is doing a good job. I call the Chancellor, I call on the Athletic Director, Chris McIntosh, to make the results of this report known. The public has a right to know. These players, if it's true that they were abused, they have the right to be vindicated in the eye of the public. And to Chris McIntosh, if you're going to continue to have a women's basketball program, which, you know, I think a lot of people forgot we had one, quite frankly. Haven't had a winning season in like 12 years. Find a coach that can actually recruit people in state and who can actually coach. The coach up there, I believe his name is Fisher at Oshkosh. Take the Bo Ryan model. That guy has won all kinds of conference championships, is well-liked by his team and his community. Give him a look-see. I mean, either commit to this program and give them the resources that they need to win, or bring back baseball. I mean, one or the other. We'll come back, turn our attention to politics over the weekend. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Monday on the Civic Media Ready Network.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
When we take a look at tariffs, we usually think about how they are going to affect us in the grocery store. But what you may not think about is how does it affect those that make our products? I'm Ben Jarba with the Midwest Farm Report, and Bryce Windecker, a dairy analyst with EverAg, is here to give insight into how processing plants are going to be affected by these tariffs.
Another thing that people don't think about maybe as much is what other plants are going to be closing because they won't be able to compete, or the company that built the new plant was shutting down some other ones. So there was certainly a little bit of that, but a majority of that new capacity is going to have to be exported, at least half of it from our figures. And we can only eat so much cheese as an American consumer. We already consume about 42 pounds of cheese per year. So at some point, you've got to be able to compete on the global market.
With a lot of uncertainty still out there about the tariffs that were implemented last week, Windecker says that in between the farmers and the consumers may have some challenges ahead. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at those midday markets right after this.
$1 billion. That's how much equipment is stolen from U.S. construction sites every year. These thieves are stalling projects, hurting Wisconsin's family-owned businesses, and driving up costs for everyone. Judge Brad Schimmel takes theft seriously. He holds criminals accountable and protects the people who are just trying to do their jobs. Call Judge Schimmel and thank him for protecting us. Paid for by the Associated Builders and Contractors of Wisconsin.
Improve yield without an extra step with QuickShot. QuickShot is a quality fluency agent and a full nutrient package in one ultimate planter box treatment. It provides all the benefits of enhanced flowability, improved singulation, and fewer skips, but with a powerful jolt of nourishment. This improves uptake and vigor during emergence, leading to stronger stand establishment and increased uniformity. Go with QuickShot to help your seed reach its full yield potential. Contact your local Helena representative or authorized dealer for more information about QuickShot. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at how the markets are moving midday on a Monday. A small mix today as cash corn is up 2.5 at 471.75, with new crop corn remaining even at 454.25. Cash soybeans are down 7.5 at 1017.5, with new crop soybeans down 5.25 at 1020.25. May wheat is up 11.5 at 562.75, with July wheat also up 11.5 at 577. Class 3 milk contracts are seeing small losses as April contracts are down 10 cents at 1710 a hundredweight, and May contracts are down 4 cents at 1754 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It's practically feeling like summer today, with high temperatures reaching the upper 60s and flirting with a record of 68 degrees set back in 1879. Got some breezy winds out of the south warming us up about 30 degrees above our average high temperatures for this time of year. Soak it up and enjoy the sunshine. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
Will Westmoreland is joining us now. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri.
This is an 80-20 Republican area down here. You can't throw a rock without hitting a Republican. And I still know all the guys I graduated with. So I always ask, don't admit you were wrong. Just admit you were lied to. That's a lot easier to do. If you just admit you were lied to, you can get over here with us and start working to fight the problem.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Congressman Mark Pocan.
Already people can't get appointments as easily at the VA hospitals. Already farmers aren't getting their grants. Federal employees are losing their jobs. And this is just the real life ramifications of what's happening.
If you can't convey the impact of these cuts, the people that are getting bad information are just going to think he's just cutting wasteful spending.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Hey, everybody. I've got an off day coming up, but don't worry. We've got you covered. We'll be chatting with Mark Pocan at 3 o'clock about the Elon Act. Do we really want billionaire overlords controlling our government?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon from Lake Superior to Lake Michigan. Stay off the lakes, by the way. Stay off Green Bay as well, the lake, the bay. To the Mississippi River at all points in between. Stay off the Mississippi River, by the way, as well. Just please. It's dangerous out there. I mean, if you're going to go out, you know, don't go more than 6, 7, 8 feet out. So as you fall through, you're not going to go up beyond your neck. You want people to get out. Or just, it won't be long. The ice will be gone. People can fish from the shore, the boats once again. I think I saw over the weekend, they're bringing the big icebreaker ships into Green Bay this week to start the shipping season up there. So for all of our listeners up there, WGBW, great station in Green Bay, Wisconsin, you'll see those ice-breaking ships. You ever seen those, Somers?
I have. They're pretty cool.
They're super cool, aren't they? They're big. They're just massive. And they are integral to opening up those shipping lanes so that commerce can begin once again. Welcome back to the show. Want to turn our attention to a little politics over the weekend here in Wisconsin. And I get it. This is fantastic for a lot of people. Some people are very excited that Bernie Sanders was in Wisconsin over the weekend in Racine and then went up to Altoona and had some rallies there. And they were very well attended. And it revved a lot of people up, but I think that's great. You know, I've never won a statewide race. I've won congressional races and done that sort of thing. Bringing Bernie Sanders into Wisconsin and going all over the state with him did not work out so well for former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes when he was running for U.S. Senate. But hey, this is great. Maybe this is what Democrats need to get excited. I don't know. I'm not a Democrat. I'm a former Republican who left the party in 2011 who's an independent these days. I vote Democratic these days because I think it's the last remaining major party that defends democracy. And that's important to me. But I don't think they're perfect. And I'm concerned that I'm not sure that they're focused on being unified to win elections. But Bernie was in town. And here's the thing. He had a great crowd. There's no reason to, like, toy with this. And again, I bring the Twitter up and the tweet up and read to you, but Twitter is now just coming back online. So I can't bring it up. But there was a tweet over the weekend that said, Bernie got 2,000 people to a rally in a town of 9,000 in Altoona. Well, that's true. But it's disingenuous and misleading.
Have you heard of driving to a town next door?
Altoona is a suburb of Eau Claire, which has a population of over 70,000 people. And Eau Claire County has a population of over 100,000 people. We were there, of course, this summer when former Vice President Harris and Governor Tim Walz had one of their first rallies together in a field just outside of Eau Claire, not too far from Altoona. She had somewhere between 12 and 15,000 people at that outdoor rally. So, I mean, there's 2,000 people at a rally is great in March. Nothing to sneeze at. But don't try to make it seem like it more. Don't try to seem like, you know, oh, we went to a rural town, 9,000 people and got 2,000 people to show up. No. You were in a community of 100,000 people. And you packed the gym in Altoona. That's fantastic. But just be honest about it. The one thing I really liked about the rally from Bernie in Altoona is he had people in the audience tell him what they were most concerned about or what was on their mind. I want to play this for you in its entirety. And thank you, Zomers, because I had this via Twitter, and that clip or that angle was shot from behind Senator Sanders so you could hear the audience better. But Zomers, God love him, he found another version of this clip that was shot facing Bernie, so you can't hear the audience as well, but Bernie's going to repeat it. And I want you to listen to what the people in the room in Altoona, Wisconsin, a suburb of Eau Claire, told Bernie Sanders was on their mind.
You know what? I'm going to tell you what living paycheck to paycheck, but you know it better than I do. Raise your hand. What is it like living paycheck to paycheck? Who wants to? All right, hold on. One at a time. I can't. Yes. Well, terrible. All right. Yes. Hungry? Hunger. All right. Let me get some hands back there. Be loud. We got a hand there. Okay, ma'am. Stressful. Stay on that issue, sir. You're not sure if you're going to be able to keep the heat on. Yes, ma'am. Trying to find a way to plan a meal for your until your next paycheck comes. Ma'am? Forget about buying shoes and clothes for your kids. Ma'am? Skipping doctor's visits. Okay, I see a hand back there, sir. Yeah. Fear that your world is going to fall apart, sir. Am I getting glasses, or can I get them for my kids, sir? Can't plan for the future. Hand back there, sir. Okay, psychological warfare. Yes. You make impossible decisions for your family, sir. General insecurity. Okay. I think you got it.
Bernie Sanders in Altoona, Wisconsin over the weekend. Let me run through these again. Hunger. Stressful. Paying for heat bills. Paying for meals. Buying shoes or boots for your kids. Paying bills in general. Skipping a doctor visit because you can't afford it or afford the deductible.
That one got a bunch of applause.
Yeah. World falling apart. Eyeglasses for me or eyeglasses for my kids? Insecurity. Family care. Future planning. Just to name a few. If the Democratic Party and those running for office would pick the top three or four of those issues and talk and run united on that, they would win. I wrote a column last week. You could find it at civicmedia.us about our 25-plus trips all around Wisconsin last year. Some of my colleagues, Jay Matinair, Earl Ingram, Pat Kreitlow, our friend Trigvi Olson, our friend Reed Galen. And what people were saying to Senator Sanders there in that clip were many of the things that we heard on the, I don't want to say campaign trail because we weren't running for anything, but in our travels around Wisconsin. And in my opinion, it's unfortunate that Democrats get baited into the social issues that divide us and want to spend time on that more so than on these bread and butter issues that Wisconsinites are truly concerned about. And if you look at what the Trump administration is doing, he paid a lot of lip service to those things in the campaign. But what is he doing to fix that now? Not a whole lot. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Gene up. Speaking of the Eau Claire area, Gene of Eau Claire, listening on WCFW. Always a pleasure. Gene, thanks for calling. What do you have?
Hi. Well, thank you for covering this. I didn't know he was going to be in Altoona. And by the way, Altoona is a boom area now. They have significantly increase the number of homes and multi-use facilities, you know, right. A lot of different apartments and things like that. I have relatives that live there, and one of them was one of the first homes in Altoona. So it's a booming. And anyway, I was so impressed. I watched it. You can get it on YouTube. I strongly recommend anybody in our area to see it. It's called Fighting Oligarchy from Altoona, Wisconsin, and it's not, and then just search Bernie Sanders or live. And I was so impressed. I couldn't believe the people packed into their brand new, well, it's new since years ago, but
their big auditorium. It was jam-packed. And to watch all the people, he really hits home. And it really is an issue when you got Elon Musk, big money bucks, and then the people. I mean, I was shocked, Todd, when there were people that were Republicans that were qualified to be in those departments. And he picked those people to go through and try to cut everything for the average person. It is so unbelievable. So, Bernie, if people get a chance to see it, I really strongly recommend take a look at it. It's your fellow neighbors there, and this has got to stop. So thank you so much, Todd, and keep up the great work. Bye.
Appreciate you, Gene. Thanks so much. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Well, there you go. Gene lives in the area. It's a lovely community. And yes, technically it's 9,000 people, but it's a suburb of Eau Claire. It's part of the greater Eau Claire area, which I spend a lot of time up there seeing my sister and brother-in-law and people like that up there. So it's a beautiful part of the state. I hope the takeaway, because again, you know, I'm not a Republican nor a Democrat. And I try to put myself in the place of liberal progressives as much as I do MAGA folks and try to understand their point of view. How are they seeing things? And so I try to appreciate as best I can the frustration of the progressive left who doesn't think things are happening quick enough, who wants more of the progressive ideas of Bernie Sanders. But it's odd to me. And I think, by the way, that he got screwed out of the nomination by party bureaucrats in 2016 when Hillary got the nomination. I'll ask my opinion. But that's water over the dam. I just find it ironic that the progressive left said Joe Biden is an 81-year-old man, white guy, who's over the hill, and we need somebody different. Which, that's, again, a whole other discussion. I personally don't think that Biden could have won the general election after that debate performance and then what followed. So the Democrats nominated a black woman who wanted to work with the left. But a faction of the progressive left showed up and harassed her over Gaza and Palestine and people in Dearborn, Michigan, and other places. And the progressive, not all, but some of the progressive left said, we can't bring ourselves to vote for Harris because she's the lesser of two evils. And so they stayed home and maybe unwillingly joined forces with the MAGAs, and the combination gave us Trump 2.0. And now those same people are coming back around saying, what we really need is an 83-year-old white guy. I think that part of it is his ideas, right? Not him personally, to be fair. But I hope rather than taking his more, what word do I use that won't offend someone? I'll say, in my opinion, instead of taking more of his extreme progressive views, taking some of these mainstream things, like helping people, you know, how do we talk to people who are struggling to pay heat bills? How do we talk to people who are trying to decide, do I get eyeglasses or my kids get eyeglasses? Those are real issues that Wisconsinites are dealing with, and it doesn't matter whether they're progressive left or MAGA right or somewhere in between. And if we start listening to people about their lives and saying, we understand you. And by the way, we respect you as Wisconsinites and friends and neighbors. And it doesn't matter whether you are on the far left or the far right or somewhere in between. We're all Wisconsinites. And what binds us are these issues that we all want kids. We all want basic eyeglasses. We're all trying to pay heat bills. We're all trying to put food on the table. And so let's work together and stop attacking one another over who we might have voted for in a particular election and focus on solving these problems together. Come on back. Todd Lobel Show on 780.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people.
5 months after peaceful voting rights marchers were viciously attacked in Selma, Alabama, the Voting Rights Act of 1965 was signed by President Lyndon Johnson. Anti-voter legislatures are now challenging the VRA's protections, even though that discrimination continues. The VRA was intended to give teeth to the 15th Amendment, prohibiting discrimination based on race, color, or previous enslavement. The VRA's Section 5 requires states with a track record of discrimination to pre-clear their election law with the U.S. Justice Department. The U.S. Supreme Court's conservative majority in Shelby County v. Holder in 2013 began an erosion of those protections by prohibiting the DOJ from enforcing those pre-clearance requirements. In the ensuing 12 years, power-hungry state legislatures unleashed a torrent of anti-voter bills designed to suppress specific groups, including Black, Hispanic, and Native American voters. A 2021 decision, Brnovich v. DNC, made it harder to argue those bills discriminated by race. In 2024, the conservative majority made it more difficult to prove racial gerrymandering under the VRA Section 2 in Alexander v. South Carolina NAACP. The latest attack, a 2025 Supreme Court case from Louisiana, argues the VRA's provision for majority-minority voting districts is itself discriminatory. More on that tomorrow. I'm Brian Beal.
Hi, Chef Grunder. Let's dive right into the Machine Shed. Fridays here mean all you care to have fried or broiled North Atlantic cod, or try our bone-in seasoned catfish lightly fried. More of a salmon lover? Choose between the Machine Shed's white wine sauce or apple bourbon glaze. Our sautéed savory shrimp will satisfy your taste buds with Old Bay seasoning and Asiago cheese. All great choices. Join us this Friday or every Friday for seafood worth savoring at the Shed.
I-94 and Highway 164, Pewaukee.
A new choice, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Coming up in hour 2, we'll have some fun. What's worse for today? Salty versus sweet. What's worse? Take your phone calls in hour number 2. Right now, talking about Bernie Sanders being in Wisconsin over the weekend. And getting these mainstream ideas directly from people in Altoona, Wisconsin, saying that their largest issues are things like paying the heat bill, being able to afford meals for their family, buying shoes and boots for their kids, deciding whether that do they get eyeglasses or their kids get eyeglasses. Those are the things that are actually on Wisconsinites' minds. 855-752-4842. Wisco Paul is on the line. Wisco, thanks for calling in. Sounds like it's windy where you're at. Where are you at, Wisco?
Yeah, it's pretty well. I'm outside here, but can you hear me okay? Or no?
Yeah, go ahead. You're good.
Okay. The Democratic Party basically handed Hillary the nomination, and the messenger is the big deal, and Bernie's really, really good at that. That's probably half the battle. They also handed a nomination to Miguel Barnes, and then I don't know if they had any choice, but Kamala Harris, and it didn't work out real well for them. So hopefully they'll learn something from that, because you can't go back except to learn. I am worried right now with Trump. It's like, one of my friends said, hey, it's like being on a Titanic. You see an iceberg. Instead of slowing down, you're speeding up. So it's you look at the stock market and what he's doing with the government, you think people are having problems now, just wait. So I'll let you go on that one. But Bernie Sanders is totally awesome, Todd. You're 100% correct. And I you can correct him. I think it's the messenger, and he's great at doing that. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks, Wesco. Always appreciate your point of view. I want to turn to this. I wouldn't call this a Twitter war, because the other person seemed fairly nice. I don't think they knew me. And it's one of these deals where I'm not even sure that this person, I don't know, they got into a thing. There was a post over the weekend, and this has been going around a lot over the weekend on social media. And so I made a post, And I retweeted this. And if I can bring it up here, of course, now Twitter's not working again, so I probably can't. But basically, I said this is a sad but great example of people on the left putting out misinformation and promoting disinformation on the right, which makes the general populace say, see, we can't tell the difference between either one, which makes people apathetic when it comes to elections, which only benefits authoritarian figures like Donald Trump. And so Zobbers, God love him, he found this clip. So this is what I'm going to set this up. What this is the president of FIFA, the organization that oversees the World Cup. The World Cup is coming to the United States in 2026, next year. So the FIFA president was in the Oval Office with Trump either Friday or over the weekend. And they're talking about the World Cup coming to the U.S. here next year. And Trump, all right, I'll stop there. I'll let you hear it, and then we'll discuss it. And what was put out on Twitter and retweeted thousands of times by the left, the headline, and it has a banner that says C-SPAN. It looks like the official C-SPAN website. And it says, "User March 7th, 2025, user clip. Trump admits election was rigged for him to win with this clip attached."
That's a lot. When, you know, when we made this, it was made during my term, my first term. And it was so sad because I said, can you imagine I'm not going to be president? And that's too bad. And what happened is they rigged the election and I became president. So that was a good thing.
That clip and the subheadline says Trump admits the presidential election was rigged in order for him to win. Underneath of it, it says this clip, title, and description were not created by C-SPAN. As a disclaimer. Now, you tell me, if you listen to that clip, clearly what Trump is saying is that he is saying that they, the Democrats, rigged his word, not mine. He's referring to the 2020 election. So he's saying that they rigged it. Therefore, I was able to run again. I became president. And therefore, now I'll be president in 2026 when the World Cup happens. Let me be clear. Neither the 2020 nor the 2024 election was rigged. It was not. Both of them were free and fair elections. Yes, there were a handful of whatever abnormalities. It has been proven that no amount of abnormalities would have made a difference in either election. But yet there are some, keyword some, but on social media a lot, that are retweeting this as somehow quote unquote proof that Trump admits that the 2024 election was rigged. I mean, you couldn't possibly just say, I don't know, Democrats messed up. Here's a cut from Primary Colors, one of my favorite movies, starring Kathy Bates, Emma Thompson, and John Travolta. Kathy Bates' character, a political consultant, is talking to John Travolta and Emma Thompson's character, Governor and First Lady, who are running for president.
Forget the convention.
Libby, for Christ's sake, what are you doing? What's the point?
The point is Eagleton. Remember Jack? I must have known you, what, 2 days then? We hear that McGovern has chosen a vice president who had electric shock treatments. And for the first time, I actually consider the possibility that we might lose to that brain Nixon. I mean, before that, I was absolutely convinced we would win.
We'll come back. We'll play. Todd messed it up. I messed it up. Sorry. That's my fault. We'll come back. Stay with us.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Todd Alba from the Todd Alba Show joining us at 10:33 to kick around all the Wisconsin news. Join us.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. The Dow tumbled again today after comments by the president on tariffs and Ontario, Canada's decision to charge the U.S. 25% more for electricity. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
The combination of on-again, off-again tariffs, as well as government job cuts and businesses and consumers pulling back on spending, has caused recessionary fears to resurface.
The Republicans have another temporary spending bill, but Democrats and at least one prominent Republican are not on board. CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
It is Groundhog Day up here on Capitol Hill. Another looming shutdown coming on Friday if Congress doesn't act.
The Supreme Court has agreed to decide whether state and local governments can enforce laws banning conversion therapy for children. Legal analyst Laurie Levinson.
There are legal issues ranging from the First Amendment to due process and to whether people have the right to make these changes in their lives.
CBS News Brief. I'm Cammie McCormick.